Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know the saying, what goes up must come down. Wait a minute, what? I'm hearing? Yep. Nope, he's all right. We're okay. Or you go to the furniture store and you see the sign, inventory clearance sale, and of course, you know that everything must go. You can have a party and you can be having a great time. Everything can be going just wonderful, at least that's the way we used to do things. And all good things, though, must come to an end. So it is that Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must endure suffering and rejection and even death. Now, we who know the end of the story, we, of course, rush way ahead to that final time of Jesus. And not only the cross, but also the knowledge of the resurrection, the hope of Easter, the knowing that, as Jesus says, after 3 days, must also rise again. Only we allow those words to flow over us and we hardly give them any credence. Indeed, the idea that Jesus must suffer and be rejected and even die is a bit problematic when you consider that God is the one who has sent his Son. What kind of father sends his Son to endure such, intentionally to be put to death, if even for the sake of the world? In fact, it's this very thing that many people look to the Christian faith and say, I don't really want to have much to do with that at all. But there's another way of thinking of this. Rather than think of the abusive father image, we could hear this story as saying that in the sense that Jesus must suffer and be rejected and also die, has a lot to say with the people that Jesus chose to associate with. The way in which Jesus reached out to those who were rejected by society, those who were marginalized because of sickness, those who were vilified because of sin, those who could not enter into the life of community because of their greed or their lack of it. When my son was young, probably 7 years old or so, the story goes that he was riding in the back seat of the car with my wife, and he says from the back seat, I think this was around Easter time, he says, why did Jesus have to die? His mother cursed me for not being the one in the car at that time, but did her best to try and say, well, you know, Jacob, there were bad people and people that didn't agree with Jesus and people that didn't know what Jesus was all about and they didn't like him. And finally, Jacob kind of says from the back seat, Mom, I think it was so he could save us from our sins. Now, we laugh and we sort of praised Jacob for whatever he had listened to in church, at church or in Sunday school or perhaps even from a sermon that I had given. Jacob gave the textbook answer of theology of why Jesus had to come and die. But in a sense, Mom had the better answer. Mom knew what was really behind what Jesus was up to. The church has taught us one thing, but at the same time, we know that a deeper truth exists. Especially in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus dies because powerful humans oppose both his healing mission and more specifically, the disruption that that mission brings to established law and order. And this continues to happen in our world. A lawyer takes on a black client, a white lawyer takes on a black client, and chooses to defend that one, only others in society don't care much about that, and use all kinds of techniques to vilify and punish that one for going against the status quo. Or people of good will and great faith put water stations in the desert for people who are coming across the desert. For whatever reason, they have crossed into this part of our world, and they are on a journey, and their lives are at stake. And so good people have put water in their pathways to at least give them that hope and assurance of a drink to sustain their lives. Only those two are vilified, those two are taken up and condemned for their act of compassion and hospitality. Or a group of folks meet for a school board meeting in a town where masks are being debated, and a student gets up to offer his perspective of why masks should continue to be worn, only to be met with boos and ridicule and condemnation from the crowd. Jesus' willingness to embrace the sick, the outcast, to forgive the sinner, to enter into the life of greed and mistrust in our world is at once in his lifetime and also in ours at odds with those whose livelihood and whose very sense of worth depends on keeping people in their place of suffering and rejection and death. Think about the ways that so many things are debated in our society. Things that good people disagree on, and yet, for one reason or another, the people who stand up for those causes are caused to think twice about their actions and their ability to speak their mind. You see, the real epiphany here is not that Jesus' mission is to die, but that Jesus' faithfulness to God's healing mission will inevitably result in his death. And this is bad news and this is good news for us as we hear these words today. Bad news because, like Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, we too would rather that salvation come at the end of battle or in the midst of insurrection or world domination. In other words, those who want to save their life will lose it. But good news also today, because in the same way that Jesus reached out to heal, Jesus has given us the option and the power and the requirement to reach out to our loved ones and even strangers in our community and offer that same healing grace. To know that we live in a world where forgiveness is a fundamental power that we have not only to receive, but also to share with others. And that the greed of this world, in the end, will not overtake us, but that we will be able to share our resources by the grace of God, and that we will be able to offer that hand up for those in our world. In other words, those who lose their life. For my sake, Jesus says, and for the sake of the gospel, we'll save it. In the end, Jesus' commitment is about his trust. His trust, of course, is the same word as belief, same word as faith. Jesus' faith in a mission that God has sent him on. A mission that will engage him with the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick. Jesus will engage them, will live their lives even unto their deaths. Jesus will live our lives as well, with us, as we succeed and as we fail. And in that way, we can hear those final words of Jesus about after 3 days, rising again and sharing in the goodness and the glory of all that God has to give. It is another instance of how grace comes first, of how we know that the God who is ready to welcome us in open arms is with us, to lift with us our burden, to carry our cross, and to follow Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.